Welcome to the City Heart Podcast. I'm Pastor Kevin Reed. Thank you for joining us today. And we pray that you're encouraged and enlightened by this message. We are really still at the beginning of a series that we kicked off last week, a teaching series called Fixer Upper. Fixer Upper. In this series, what we're really trying to do is help you to find your purpose. If there's really kind of the ending of it is really to find your purpose. And we believe that's done by really renovating and exposing and figuring out what's imperfect in my life that I can renovate, that I can change, that I can improve so that I can uncover what my real purpose is. And so we're going to go ahead and jump into that here. And if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open up your Bibles with me. We're going to look in the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians. I'll give everybody a chance to look there. We're going to look in the book of Ephesians. And we're going to look at chapter 4, verse 22. And the good thing is, if you have a phone, you have a smartphone, we actually provide our notes on YouVersion, the YouVersion Bible app. You can download it. It's free. But if you go to events, you can look up City Heart, and we actually have our notes there. I provide them for everybody every week. But we're looking for Ephesians 4 and verse 22. And it's there, and it says, This says, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Truly righteous and holy. If you would turn back about two chapters, we're going to stay in Ephesians. We'll look at one more scripture here, and it's Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to look at one verse, which is verse 10, and it says, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Bow your heads, let's just pray for a brief moment, and we'll jump into our word. Lord, we thank you for this day that you have made. And Lord, we rejoice and we're glad in it. We thank you for this opportunity that we have to share your word, to listen and to hear your word. I pray today that your word would impact our lives, where we might be changed for the better. Challenge us today. Help us to improve, to be able to fix the areas in our life that need improving, to see what they are and to go after them to make a real difference in our lives and in the lives of others. Lord, I pray that you would open our hearts to hear, open up our ears to hear what you have to say to us today. Let it be impactful today. In Jesus' name, everybody said. So, as I said last week, we began talking about this concept of a fixer-upper. And I don't know, you might not know this about me, I'm a big HGTV fan. I will admit to my HGTV-ness, I love HGTV. I could watch DIY shows and fix-up shows all the time. It's like one of my favorite things to do. We went on vacation a couple weeks ago, and literally that's what I did for almost half the vacation. I just sat there and watched TV. My wife's like, aren't you sick of watching HGTV? And I was like, no, I want to see them fix up another house. This is my show. Right now, and we don't have cable, so it was like my chance to get to watch it. I was like, you know, kind of binging HGTV for a little bit, and it was good. I was on vacation. That's what I got to do. But the thing that I love about the show is that you're taking something that is broken, right? When the houses that they look at Fixer Upper, they're like the worst house on the street, right? And it's like they pick like three really bad houses, and the people have to choose between three bad houses to try to see, man, can this bad place become a good place? Can this thing that looks like it's broken or dilapidated, is it possible that this can become my dream home? That this can become a place where we can live and it's going to be, man, it's going to be amazing and fulfill everything that we need and fulfill its purpose, right? And what we've been saying the same thing is that just like these homes, there's a space in our lives where we might be imperfect. There's some areas within us that need a little bit of help, right? They need some changing. There's some things that we need to look at and be able to see with a clear eye and be able to say, you know what? I can improve that. I don't know if you've ever done any house hunting. My wife have done a little bit of it. But if you're looking for a house, it's one of the most stressful and difficult things you could probably ever do because you think, man, why would I move into this house? It looks a wreck. It looks crazy. It looks terrible. You go on the street and you're like, they're selling this thing, right? And you're like, wait, they're asking that much for it? Do they see the condition of this house? It looks crazy. Why would they be asking this much? Right. And so when you're in that house hunting process, what you're trying to do is to really see, man, is this a place where I can really be? Is this a place where, man, I can live and we can do the things that we're trying to do? Right. And so some people, they want a fresh, clean, I don't want to do any work. I just want to walk into the door. Right. And I don't have to move a thing. I don't want to change an appliance. I don't want to move a floorboard. I don't want to even want to paint. Right. I just want to walk in. But then there's some people who are like, you know what? I can save a little money, right? I can go and get this house that may not be so perfect, but if I can change some stuff up, move something here, tear down this wall, I want an open concept. That's what they say on the show all the time. I want some shiplap everywhere, right? If I can do that, then, man, this can be a place where I can live. And so what we're saying is that in our lives, there has to be something, as we're still kind of at the top of this year, there are our lives, we need to begin to take a look and see, how can I fix up my life? How can I move my life from a place that, if I'm really honest with myself, I'm not where I should be, but I want to get there. I know there's some stuff that I've been dealing with for a long time, and man, I need to finally deal with it and get it right. The way that we do that is through renovation, right? That's what they do on the show. They go in and they renovate the home, right? And to renovate really means this. It means, man, to restore something to a good state where it's refreshed, right? It's restored. It's in the place that it should be. And I really feel like that's what God wants to do in our lives. He wants to fix up the broken places that we might be imperfect, and that's okay, but God can come in, right? He sees us from the real perspective. We might think, oh, that place is run down. That place is shabby. My life, man, you don't know what I've been through. You don't know the skeletons that are in my closet, the stuff that I've done, man, all the bad stuff and the terrible things and the guilt and the grief and the shame that I'm going through. But when God sees you, he doesn't see something that is out of luck, that can't be fixed. He sees something, you know what? Man, if I tear down that wall, if I put a little paint right there, if we fix the foundation, then you know what? This can be something that can be used for a greater purpose. It's a fixer-upper. That's how God sees us. He doesn't see all the craziness and the stuff that we've done. He sees something that he can take and mold and use for his glory. And I'm saying, I want all of us at the top of this year at this place to say, you know what, man, I'm a fixer-upper. I'm not perfect. I'm standing here as a pastor. I'm not perfect. My wife will tell you every day, I'm not perfect. She'll tell you again, don't you tell me, all the time. You are not, no, anyway, right? But here's the thing. In this series, what we're trying to do is, man, to walk through the steps needed to renovate ourselves. Renovating what is imperfect to uncover our purpose, becoming a home where God can live. And last week we said, man, we're talking about what is the steps? If I'm going to, man, get into a fixer-upper, what do I need to do? Last week we said, man, the first thing you have to do is to figure out, where's the house going to be? Where are you located? The first thing you have to do if you're going to find a house is figure out, man, where are you located? What's the environment? Right? Are you in a good neighborhood? Is it a quiet street? That's what I always want. I want a quiet street. I don't want a whole lot of cars. I don't want to be at a corner. I want to be kind of in the middle of the street where there's, you know, it's just quiet, right? Our neighbors right now, they're mostly like 70 years old, so it's quiet. They don't come out the house. They stay on the side. They come out to take out the trash. Hi, and they go right back in. I'm like, yes, that's where I want to be. Man, are there good schools around? In order for us to be fixed up, man, to become a home where God can live, that same type of assessment has to happen in our lives. We must take place for us. Am I engaging with other believers? Right? Does where I go in my life, does it match up with what I profess to believe as a Christian? Can God come where I go? Everywhere I go. If you're going out, can God tag along to where you're going? Would he feel comfortable? Would Jesus feel comfortable hanging out with you where you go and doing the activities that you do? It's the same questions. man, would he be comfortable with the actions that I'm taking? And so we're saying, right, with where you located, we said this, man, the closer you are to God's zip code, the closer you are where he feels okay, where he feels like, yes, this is where I want to be, the more influence that he has on your life. And how do we do that? How do we get closer to God? It's by reading his word. It's by staying connected. It's by coming to small group. It's by, man, just being in the presence of God, coming in and being a part of a worship service. Right? And sometimes what can happen, and we said this last week as far as location, sometimes you may have to get to a different place. Maybe the environment that you're in right now isn't conducive to what you're trying to do in your life. Maybe it's the people that you're around or the relationships that you're in that aren't taking you to where you're really trying to get to in God. You have it in your mind, man, I want to be a person of God. Man, I want to do this thing the right way. But maybe the environment that you're in needs to change. Maybe you have to, like we said, you have to get out of Dodge. And we examine ourselves to ensure that our environment is conducive to being a place where God can live and also determining if it's a place where we can live, right? I still want my life to be fun, all right? I still want to make sure that, man, I want to have a good life and, I want to invest in my dreams and do amazing stuff. And God's saying, yeah, that's fine. I want to do that too. Man, you want to go and have this amazing career? Great. Just include me in it. Make sure that I'm a part of what's going on. That's all. That's what he's asking of us. And that same examination is also needed once you start. Man, once you've found that location, it's the same examination that begins that you need to begin working on yourself. How do I begin to improve me? How do I begin to really fix up who I am? How do I begin the work of fixing up our house? 2 Corinthians 13:5 says this. It says, examine yourselves to see if your faith is genuine, whether you're in the faith, the NIV says. Test yourselves. Surely you know that Jesus Christ is among you. 2 Corinthians 13:5. If not, you have failed the test of genuine faith. So what are we saying to do? I'm saying you may need to do a home inspection, right? That's what happens. If you're going, you're especially looking at a house that's a fixer-upper, you better do a home inspection. You better see what's really going on in this house. What is it that needs to change? Is the foundation right? Do I have termites? Anybody ever dealt with that? Right? You got termites in the house? Is your air conditioning and HVAC, is that right? Right? We got Eric. He'll tell you exactly. He can walk in a room and tell you, and there's something wrong. Right? Is what's going on? And here's the thing about home inspection. Here's the things when you start to examine yourself, sometimes you want to stop. Because you know that if you go too far, it's going to uncover some stuff that you don't really want to see. If I allow God to start looking into my life, he's going to start opening some closet doors. He's going to see some cracks in the ceiling, right? He's going to see some ugly tile that somebody put down. He's going to see that nasty pink bathroom, right? That's what's going to happen. And so for a lot of us, I'm just going to stop right there. God, do I want to let you in this place to really check me out? Do I really want to even examine myself? Because there's some stuff that I've put away in closets I forgot where it was. Man, because I didn't even want to deal with it. But here's the thing, you're going to find some bad stuff, but don't skip the inspection. Don't skip the examination. If you don't examine yourself, you won't be able to determine what you need to fix. Right? Really simple, really basic, but true. If you don't take the time to really examine your life, you're not going to know what you really need to work on. If you're always just passing stuff off, if you're always just kind of, man, I'll deal with that later, you won't actually address the issue that's going on, and that's what we need to do. Even when you have sinned or done something wrong, not everything in you is flawed. Let me let you know that, right? You're saying, man, I've sinned. Man, you know, PK, I've done some bad stuff in my life. I don't know if I can be a person of God anymore. I don't know if I can do the right stuff. I'm letting you know that, man, even if you have sinned or done something wrong, not everything in you is broken, right? If you roll up on a fixer-upper type house and you roll in there, it might be the worst house, and randomly they'll have, like, a nice washer and dryer sitting in there somewhere, right? Because somebody was like, man, this one part of you may still be okay. It might not be all messed up. Why? It's because just like that house may have something, we're uniquely designed and created by God. So as much as we might have jacked it up, there's still some good bones in that house. As much as I'm, Dan, man, they may have just put the worst paint and carpeting, shag carpeting down and put stuff that I would never put in my house. I don't want crown molding that looks like scorpions in my house. I don't know. But you know what? Even though it's that, man, there is something in there that God created. There's something in us. I've messed it up, but God designed me. So underneath all that stuff, there's still the foundation, the structure of what I need is still good. That's what I'm saying for us. You're not lost yet. We read it early, Ephesians 2:10. Man, we are his workmanship. We're his handiwork. We are created in Christ Jesus unto do good works. God ordained that before we even jacked it up. He had already said, man, you're going to do some good stuff. There's some things that I want you to do. When we talk about fixing up a house, we're looking at, we talked about this last week, the potential. What is the potential that's there of what it can be and what it takes to get it right, right? When I'm looking at a house, I'm saying, man, what can this house be? I'm looking in the mirror and I'm saying, what can I be? Our friend Paul, who passed away this past week, he had a tattoo on his chest that said, remember who you are. In our lives, there are going to be moments where we're going to look in the mirror and we might see some stuff that doesn't look like what God made. We'll see the messed up situations. We'll see the stuff that we've been through. But underneath it all is what God created. And so we have to remember who we are. We have to remember how God designed us. And when we're talking about that, we're talking about potential. Man, how do I fix what's wrong inside? You have to have, we talked about this last week, you have to have vision to see the potential. Right? You have to have vision to see the potential. You have to see it for what it currently, what it isn't currently, but what it could be. What can my life be? I have to sacrifice to reach that potential. That means, man, I have to be willing to give up something. If there's something in my life that's causing me to not be who I'm supposed to be, maybe that's something that I need to let go of. Maybe it's that relationship that you need to let go of. Maybe it's that habit that you need to let go of. Maybe, man, it's something that's going on, thank you, that you need to let go of in your life. Sorry, I didn't mean to be sweating like this. Y'all forgive me. Yes. Maybe there's something I need to let go of. What else we have to do? We have to invest. We have to investment to reach the potential, to put something in now so that I can receive the results later. And I have to take a risk to reach the potential. I have to be able to willing to do something out of the ordinary. If I'm going to fix my life, if I'm going to change who I am, if I'm going to become the person that I've always desired to be, there, man, I have to put something in. I can't just sit and think that something's going to change. It's the definition of insanity, right? Thinking that you're doing the same thing, but thinking that you're going to get a different result, right? It's the same thing in our lives. We have to fix ourselves. We have to begin to work on ourselves. But as I said before, you're not all bad. Even in the worst-looking houses, some of them will have what we call good bones. There's potential there. There's something to build off of. What we're trying to do is take the good bones that we have, that little piece that's in us, and turn it into God bones, where everything in our life begins to look like who he is, where everything I'm going through starts to look at, I'm looking at it, I'm saying, man, how can I make this better, right? When you look at all those design shows, they always bring in, right, there's always the creative person that comes in, and they're like, man, you know what, you can move that wall, and I love the parts, my favorite part of those fixer-upper shows, where they do like the 3D modeling, and they can pull it up and they can take what you do and make it look amazing before you even moved anything, right? And that's the same thing we're doing with our lives. We're saying, man, let me look and see, man, what could this look like? What could my life be? Take stock and say, man, how can I be this person that I've always dreamed of being? Ephesians 4:22, here's how you do it. You have to throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception, right? In order to throw what you're doing when you do that, you're doing some demo, right? It's kind of the hard, nasty part that you do at the beginning. You have to go in and you have to kick some walls in. It's always my favorite part, right? And they go in with the hammers, right? And they go in and start ripping stuff out, right? You need to go in and take an ugly countertop and just rip that thing out, right? You need to go into the bedrooms, man. You're going to blast through that wall. There's going to be some things in your life, man. This stuff that I've been dealing with before, I'm going in and I'm going to take it out. I'm going to do some demo work. I'm going to do something I'm pulling some stuff out. You know what you do when you do that? It's kind of the same thing as repenting. That's how we do it in our lives. We repent. We're saying, man, Lord, man, forgive me for the stuff that I've done wrong. I'm sacrificing my pride in my past so that I can get to something greater in my life. And one of the things that you have to do in a situation is that you have to fall out of lust with the parts of your life that aren't God-led. You're not in love with that. Man, I'm not in love with that person. A lot of times we do stuff out of a place where it's like we do it, but we don't really like it, right? We do it, but we're not really in love with it. It looks really attractive, but man, I don't want to be that way. You have to fall out of lust with that part that wants to do stuff that's not like God. What's the next part? The next thing, man, so let me back up. We can become depressed and discouraged because of sin that we don't confess. When we repent, when we confess of our sins, that's how we begin to start working on our lives. But if you don't confess your sins, if you don't take the time to examine, if you don't take the time to look and begin to work on you, what can happen is that you get depressed and discouraged by what's going on. And it's a continuing cycle where you're depressed and discouraged by the sin that you've just done, and you don't talk about it, and you don't share it, you don't come to small group and have a place where you can begin to work on you. And so, it can start to kind of fester in your life. But what Paul tells us here in 1 John 9, he says, man, if we confess our sins, God, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us. So, man, when I'm working in my life, when I'm doing that demo, man, I'm taking that stuff out of my life. I'm taking that stuff out of the house, but I'm also taking that stuff out of my life so that, man, now I can really begin to see what this house is all about. I can really begin to see what my life is all about. Once I start to remove some of the stuff that has been causing me pain and hurt, I can really begin to do some stuff that will bless me. Let me give you an example. David in the Bible. Right, we know that he commits adultery with Bathsheba. He's with somebody that's not his wife, and he has a man killed, and he tries to go on living like everything's okay. We do that a lot, right? We'll sin, we'll do bad stuff, and then we try to go on living like everything is okay, never really addressing the issues in our life, the stuff that we want to get right. And here's the thing, David gets to a point where he gets checked. Somebody comes to check him like, hey, man, David, you got to get this together. Man, this stuff that you're going on, I know you think that nobody knows what's going on, but I know what's going on. A priest comes to him, right? And he says, we need to get this together. And so David recognizes it, and he begins to call out to God. And this is what he says, Psalms 51:7. He says, cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. He begins to confess his sins to God. Psalms 51:10, he says, Lord, create in me a pure heart and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Man, clean, man, this stuff that's in me, Lord, man, give me a new heart. Man, help me approach this thing in a new way. Here's the second thing you need to do, right? If you're going to work on it, the first thing I said is, man, it's to repent. It's to demo, do some demo work to clean out some of that stuff. The second thing to do, and the second thing we see in that verse that we see in Ephesians 4:22, it says, instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes, right? You have to put on, right, once you get all the stuff out, now is when you go in and you start to fix the stuff that's kind of jacked up. Right? You go in and you see that the HVAC, that the air conditioning unit actually has a leak. Now is the time where you go and you tear that stuff out. You start to put in some new fresh drywall. Right? You start to fix some of the fixtures, some of the lighting fixtures, some of that stuff that needs some real work. Right? You start to make sure that the house is structurally sound. You do that in our lives. What does that look like in my life? I do that by renewing my mind. I do that by going in and making sure that I have a daily correct perspective between myself and God. that I'm making sure that he's the head and that I'm doing what I need to do in my life. We see it there in Romans 12, 2. The Bible tells us, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. How am I going to fix those areas? I have to transform who I am, what I'm doing. How do I do that? Right? You're going to have to invest some time and energy into putting the right thoughts and God's word into your heart and mind. Right? Read the Bible. Read a devotional. Turn some worship music on. Begin to speak the word out. Right? You start to say to yourself, you know what? Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Man, you know what? Man, I know, Lord, I know the plans that you have for me. They're plans to prosper me and not to harm me, to give me a hope in the future. Right? I start to say, man, and I know all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Right? I start to say, man, I have been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but man, it's Christ that lives in me. You start to say those things to yourself. Start to read the word. Renew your mind on what God has said about you so that you can become what he's called you to be. Here's the third thing that we have to do, right? First thing, we have to repent. We have to go and do some demo work. The second thing we have to do, man, is clean up the house, get stuff right, renew our minds. The third thing you have to do is to put on our new nature. The final part of Ephesians 4:22 says, put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Once we get to that place, now you can start decorating. You can start painting the walls, adding some new furniture into that house, right? You can start making it really what you want it to be because you've cleaned it out. You've repented of your sin. You've, man, taken that part and you've given it to him. And you've gone in, you've started working on fixing that stuff, and now you have the opportunity to go in and make it really your own. You can be the new creation. You can be everything that God's called you to be. You can start walking in the newness of who God is in your life. But it's you admitting and you taking the time to say, you know what, I'm going to be better. I'm not going to stay in the same place. I'm not going to stay in the same condition. I'm going to move ahead and be what God has called me to be. It requires you maybe taking some risks, doing something different, being around some different people that maybe you've been with before, saying, you know what, man, today I'm going to wake up and I'm going to pray. Today I'm going to wake up and I'm going to read the word. Today I'm going to wake up, man, I'm going to make sure I'm at church on time for worship. Man, I'm coming to small group. Why? Man, I want to make sure that every part of my life, everything that I've dreamed of being, I can do. I'm going to be everything that Christ has made me to be. In order to fix what's wrong inside, there has to be a willingness to change. There has to be a willingness in your life, a determination to begin doing the work, right? You know where you are in your life. Now it's time to start working on the inside to say, man, how can I become who I've always wanted to be? I know a lot of you have some dreams that have been pressing in your life. There are some goals, right, that hopefully by this time you haven't blown through them all yet. Right, you set them on December 31st, maybe January 1st, and hopefully your gym membership is still okay. Right, hopefully, right, you haven't the diet and whatever you're trying to do. Hopefully, you're still hanging on by maybe just a little bit of thread, but hopefully, you're still there. Right, this is a time to say, man, I'm going to begin working on myself, working on who I am. I'm going to begin to fix up my life. I want to go from just being somebody that has a couple good bones that may look good in just a few ways to being somebody when somebody walks up on my house who God has made me to be, they're like, wow. You ever done that? You ever walked up on a house and be like, now that's a house? Meanwhile, if you do that all the time when we had no money, go look at houses like, yeah, we can live there someday, right? We're not always going to be broke forever, man. There's going to be a day where we're going to look up and we're going to see something amazing. And we would go to some neighborhoods that we did not belong in, right? And be like, wow, now that's a house. That's how when I look in the mirror and I see myself, I want to look in and begin to say, wow, God, look what you've made me to be. man, I've done the work on the inside. I've started to change, to renew my mind. I've repented of my sins, man. And now this stuff, man, I'm starting to look right. Man, we took care of the living room and the dining room. We got, man, some new appliances up in the kitchen. We done knocked down a couple walls, got some shiplap up, went to Target and took care of some stuff. Man, and now, man, it's starting to really look good. Man, and you do that in your life as well. You know what? Man, there's some friends I'm not hanging around with anymore. I'm not going to the places that I used to go anymore. Man, I'm reading my word. I'm coming to small group. I'm getting involved in church and serving. And you know what, man? My life is being blessed. God is doing something amazing in me. And I've seen the process so many times. I've seen the process here in this church of people, man, they begin to get around the presence of God and stuff just begins to happen. Good things come. They start to get blessed and delivered from stuff that they've been dealing with for forever. And now they're in a place where you can see them. They just look different than how they looked before. They speak differently than how they spoke before. They act in a different manner than they did before. Their speech, what they say, is entirely different. Now they're quoting scripture, right? Now, man, now you see them and there's a bounce in their step. When before you saw them, they looked sad and depressed. That's when God sees us. He doesn't see some dilapidated house. He sees what he created. Now, we might have jacked it up, but there's an opportunity for us to bring it back to life. I want all of us today to make the determination, I'm not going to stay the jacked up, messed up, kind of run down person that I was. Man, I want to be the body that God created me to be. I want to be the person that God created me to be. I want to live out my dreams. I want to fulfill the goals that I have in my life. I want to see this world from a new perspective. And even though stuff may be crazy, I still have confidence because I know what the Lord's done for me. I know that he's changed my life. I'm a witness. I'm somebody that has done that. I was jacked up. Jacked up. Thought I knew something. Thought I was smart. Just as dumb, right? I thought I was smart. I thought I had it going on. And then I looked in the mirror one day. And I saw not who God made me to be. I saw something completely different. But I'm glad that when God saw me, he didn't give up on me. I'm glad that when God saw you, that he did not give up on you. That he didn't see a rundown house. He saw a fixer-upper. You're imperfect. You're not impossible. You're imperfect, and that's okay. But you're not impossible. God can change your life. He can do it today if you would give him the opportunity, if you're willing. If you're willing. We're not going to force you to accept God. I can't. There's nothing I can do to try to. I'm not going to tie your hands behind your back, nothing like that. We don't do spooky, crazy stuff in this church. What we try to do is present the gospel to you in a way that you can receive it so that you can make a conscious decision to follow God. That you can make the choice in your life and the choices in your life to begin to pursue God on a daily basis. Because I want it to be real. I want you to see this life and see your relationship with God as something that's not artificial, it's not super emotional, right? It's not fake, it's not phony, it's something where I've made a decision to follow God for the rest of my life. I want to love him, I want him to love me, I want to be everything that he's called me to be, and I know that I can be if I follow him today. Thank you for checking out this message from City Heart Church. If you'd like to hear more from this series, or if you'd like to hear more about our church, you can check us out online at cityheartjackson.com, or you can check us out on social media at cityheartjxn.